The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. John Eubanks back with my guy, Matt the Miz Mizzler. And I, Miz, will be my co-host for the next couple of weeks while I was on vacation. Bakes, I had to dedicate, a segment of our conversation to the amazing, amazing draft we just saw the Michigan hockey program experience. Four of the first five players selected in the draft, current or future Wolverines, Luke Hughes being an incoming Wolverine, but was selected number four in the draft. Owen Power, number one. Matty Beniers, number two. Then Luke Hughes, number four. Ken Johnson, number five. They have another incoming guy, Mackie Samuskevich, going as a fifth pick in the first round and number 24 overall. Now, we've seen other teams have a lot of firsts. Like, so Miami, for instance, Miami, I believe that was with the 2000 and 2001, had six players picked. Bama, a couple of years ago, had six players picked in the first round, or is that this year? It all runs together. So that's happened. But four of the top five players in one draft from the same school, will we ever see that again in any sport?
I think no. And in hockey, it's even crazier because, look, in football, all you're picking is college football players. There's no other path right now to the NFL. In the NBA, somewhat, but it's mainly college basketball players. In the NHL, of course, you've got juniors. That's the main way to get to the NHL is Canadian juniors. The Ontario, Quebec, and Western junior leagues produce most NHL players. Then you got Europe, of course, which has become a very rich source for the Red Wings and other teams, of course. And really, college is probably traditionally has been third on that list. So you not only beat all other schools, you know, BU, BC, Minnesota, Wisconsin, etc. You beat the juniors. You beat the Europeans. This is even more incredible than people think. It's like, I mean, softball winning a national title and baseball almost winning a national title at Michigan. It's impressive. It's more impressive when you realize that Alabama is not competing in hockey, because that's what it basically is. So these hockey players, the Michigan hockey players who did this, the program, Mel Pearson, of course, and Red Berenson, it's incredible, and I really do not – I was thinking about this because, man, you hate to say never in this business. What are we looking at in college football? Never say never. Hold on, never has been shattered of late. But honestly, I really don't see it. With the competition of other schools and the junior programs and Europeans, this has been an incredible run. What's more incredible, Sam, is it seems like – famous last words – but it seems like they are likely to return this season. If they do, and I have Michigan on my schedule, I am counting those as losses.
Right? That's amazing. That, I mean, as we talked about with whether it was Brian Cook or Mike Spath, you go number one overall, you go to the draft. I mean, you go to the league, right? You go to the franchise. Number two, you top five pick, you leave. All these guys right now looking like they're right all now coming. Most of, and then you're talking about them having experience under their belts from last year too. So no longer, that was what Mel was saying last year. Like, look, this is the most, this is our Fab Five, he said, and we started calling them the X-Men because it was a 10-man class. But this is elite talent, but they're still freshmen, and so they're going to be growing pains. And we talked to Mel about that all year. But the growing pains are behind them now, Mel. Now they're coming back. You know, there's some selflessness there because they could be off in the draft, but they all want to come back and have this last dance, this last ride with Michigan. It makes it feel like a year and a team of destiny.
It does feel like that. And if there's a silver lining to Michigan getting knocked out of COVID during the tournament, of course, so they could play a game, this crazily might be it. Because now you know that team could have gone on a run clearly this spring as it was. You know, they're top seven or eight team or so. They're in the hunt, absolutely. Good goaltending, et cetera. And they were denied that chance. So I honestly believe if they had their run and got to the final Frozen Four or whatever, they would say, okay, that itch has been scratched. We're okay. Let's move on. But they got not one tournament game. So if I'm them, and this is what they're thinking apparently, they got their shot. Now, keep in mind also, this was not a dominant team last year. There were four in the Big Ten out of seven. So, you know, top half and good team, good record, but not dominant. So there's no guarantee. And of Michigan's nine national titles, and I was breaking it all down for Blue Ice, I think one or two were favored. Michigan's best teams almost never pull it off. The best team they ever had was 97. Between national titles in 96 and 98, 97 team had 10 unbelievable, maybe 11 seniors, and like nine of them played NHL. It's just crazy. A crazy list there. And they did not get there. So it's no guarantee, and they have to, they can't just play star hockey. You got to play defense, got to sacrifice, got to realize, okay, NHL is coming, but now I need to kill a penalty. Now I need to block shots. But I'll tell you what, if I'm Al Pearson, oh, hell yeah, that's the problem I want. So,
right.
Give me that problem.
Right, man. You know, to your point, one of the things that Mel said, he said, we have some gifted guys. They're blessed with unbelievable ability, really pretty at times. And I remember him distinctly saying, we need to be gritty, not pretty, or gritty and pretty. Like, you can't just be pretty
right
in hockey. We got to be gritty,
exactly,
too. And so that was one of the points that he, I think, hammered home with those guys as freshmen. So I wonder if that, he doesn't even need to say that this year. I wonder if they just have that in them coming back. And you mentioned the 97 team. So it's a little unfair because this group hasn't all announced they're going to come back yet. And we haven't seen them play this season. But just look ahead to me. If they all come back, where does this rank talent-wise to the all-time Michigan hockey teams? Is this more talented than the 97 team, in your opinion?
On paper, it already is. But that's on paper. 97 team was just sick. I recall they had, didn't Cottage Inn have a promo that he got 10 goals. Bring your stuff, get a free pizza. That cost them a lot of money that year. And I'm blanking at which player it was. And forgive me, because whoever it was a friend of mine. Horrible. But one of the players got the 10th goal like three or four times. They had like seven of these games. And he got to be known as the pizza man, the pizza guy, because he was not the game winner, the pizza winner. That's how dominant that team was. That team was so dominant on the power play that referees were reluctant to call penalties on the other team, because knowing it's a goal. It's basically a goal when you call a penalty on the other team. So, but on paper right now, look, that team was unbelievable. But you wouldn't have guessed how many of those guys got the pros from that team that year. This team, you already know. John Madden, for example, great penalty killer. He never thought he was going to be an NHL player. Blake Sloan, guys like this. And they, you know, they all had good runs. Madden had a great run in the NHL with the Devils and the Blackhawks. But you didn't see it the year before it happened. And in this case, you already see it. So on paper, in late July, this team is already the most talented team Michigan's ever fielded. How about that?
All right, so last one for you. You know, hockey at Michigan is a major sport. It's a major sport on this campus. I would argue that in this region, in this footprint, it's a major sport. But nationally, college hockey doesn't get a whole lot of recognition. Hell, the NHL wasn't getting much recognition for a while on ESPN, right?
So, right.
But when you have four of the first five picks in the draft from the same school, that turns heads, that gets eyes. And I wonder if the profile of Michigan hockey and college hockey will be different this year because of this team if they all come back. Do you think there's a platform and a pedestal for the sport and this team that we haven't seen before based on the first five picks in the first round?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Hockey itself as a sport has a hard time getting national attention. Started the NHL on down. Our friend Bettman, of course, but college hockey more so. College hockey is regional. It's, you know, north central and northeast, and that's about it. Two things. One, the odds of them coming back, the five NHL draft picks here, first rounders, increases because there are five of them. This is, I think, almost the exact same model that Michigan basketball used to get the Fab Five back in 91. That, you know, Juwan Howard's on the phone pumping up Chris Webber and Jalen Rose saying, come on, dudes, let's do this. And I think your odds of getting all of them are as good as getting some of them in this case of the five. Because once the peer pressure works, it only works if we all five come back, basically. So That is a factor there. Second of all, as far as capturing the imagination, same formula. Look, I mean, college hockey, four of the five have done this. That's got to be national attention. I know also Kevin Warren, to his credit, in my opinion, has seen women's basketball and college hockey as the two growth areas for the Big Ten. And he's right about both, in my opinion. You need more winter sports, of course. You need more things to fill in the space. Big Ten is strong in both of those. This can be used as a platform. And guess who Kevin Warren talks to probably more than anyone else as his hockey advisor? None other than Red Berenson. I wonder if Red knows any of these players or knows anything about college hockey. If he does, then your odds increase. So I'll take that bet all day long, of course. So this could be a really, as you said, a seminal shift in college hockey profile.
Yeah, at least for this year. This is just, I don't think we'll ever see this again. I mean, the closest that they came to, we had a bunch of Sparties say 1967 Michigan State team had a number of players. But four of the first five, I don't think they had that. So this is special, and it'll make Yost is always the madhouse and a packed house. This year is going to be an even tougher ticket, I imagine, if all these guys come back.
And take that also as the model as well. In 2005, when Carol Hutchins' team wins the national title, that place has been packed ever since. That's 16 years ago. Now, granted, they're a top five team almost every year. They're almost always Big Ten champs. So she's certainly delivered. But that put Michigan softball on an entirely different plane that they've been riding ever since. It's not hard to see that happening here. Now, of course, Michigan hockey has been sold out for 20 or so years until recently. A lot of reasons, COVID and blah, blah, blah. But this could bring that back in spades there too. So I think you're right. If these five come back, you can see a seminal shift on that one. I'm reminded, however, when I asked Chuck Daly about the Dream Team, I said, how'd you coach those guys? He said, thank God for Christian Laettner. I said, what? He said, he's the only guy who could not demand the ball, and I didn't have to give it to him. So fair enough. So,
I got you. Well, hey, you know, Mel has the advantage of
and Christian Laettner.
Yeah, Mel has the advantage of catching these guys on the front end of their careers as opposed to the back end, and sort of training them up, and was able to instill some lessons that I think they learned last year. As talented as they were, the talent alone wasn't going to get it done, and I think that was his message. At least that was the message I took from him in our weekly conversations all year long. And I mean, those guys are coming back. It means they have internalized that. They're accepting that. They know they're going to have to, they can't survive on talent alone to win a national championship. So John Bacon, man, you are the absolute best. Enjoy your time. I don't know what called you North, but whatever it is, I hope you enjoy it, and looking forward to talking to you again next week, my friend.
Sounds great, Mr. Webb. Thank you, sir.
All right. That was John U. Bacon, folks. Always a wealth of knowledge and perspective, which we appreciate. And I certainly appreciate you. I appreciate my man Miz holding it down on the ones and twos like he is going to for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a boatload of fun. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to reflect upon next week as we are going to reflect upon the barbecue at the Big House. So heavy, heavy recruiting news. Certainly, we are going to get into our coaching interviews as we sat down and chatted with most of the Michigan football coaches last week. We're going to start playing those for you. I know we played Ron Bellamy yesterday. We have many more to come next week, gearing up for and leading into the start of fall camp, which is a week from today. So a lot to look forward to next week here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.